Now that's a picture of a multiple terminal airport. As you can see, at the same time there are four airlines which are there. Some of the airlines might be to different destinations, and the duration between both of all the aircraft's departures might be hardly 3 minutes. So this is how precisely the timing of the aircrafts is maintained. Now here is a pictorial chain of how the travel services or passengers movement is at the airport. The first counter is wherein you have to get at the correct arrival at the correct departure gates. The second one is a picture which explains the check-in counters. So the travelers have to come at the check-in counter. The baggage has to be checked in. Boarding passes are given. Then comes the security, wherein there is a personal security check which is happening. Then here is the boarding of the plane. You have to board. Care has to be taken to be boarding the correct passengers to correct aircrafts. And then there is the sitting, which is inside the aircraft. So this is what happens when we are actually boarding a flight. Now that was about airlines, aircrafts. Let us see what we are talking about, railways, how the railway system manages its operations and what all things are involved when we are talking about railways. Now when we opt for an international travel, it primarily takes place by air. Especially in the modern times, it is the air which might be opted for. Because of the paucity of time with most travelers and much slower speeds of other modes of transport. Now clearly, as we have seen, many of the travelers are on a short haul holiday. So time is very important. It is also convenience and the frequency of the air routes which will make sure that they are opting for an aircraft rather than a railway or other modes of transport. But what happens when we are talking about other countries wherein airlines might not be there or might be a very inconvenient or infrequent connections? Then that in that case it's the railways which are preferred. Ideally, on a study basis, on a research basis, we might know that railways are preferred mode of cross-country travel in smaller continents like Europe. Now here, if I am trying to go on a European tour and I am on a Schengen visa, the Schengen countries might have a cross-country train journey. So I might rather opt for this train journey because it is convenient. Then again, I do not need to change different trains. Further ahead, it might also provide me scenic beauty sceneries which I can see from the streets. So in smaller continents like Europe, train journey might be preferred. For middle to of the range travelers in developing nations going to neighboring countries, and for vast countries like India, China and Russia. Now then again we come under the budget. So suppose if there are certain people who might not want to opt for airways as a mode of transport and want to save money on that, they might opt for railways. The other countries which are there like India, Russia and China, which are vast in nature, more importantly, their railway system is very well developed. So there might be certain cities which also might not have airports. So here again, railways are the best option to travel. Most of these developing countries like India, China and Russia might have made extra things like railway passes for travelers. So this might actually attract a traveler for a train journey. It might be the convenience, the comfortability, that might be the only mode, or it might be a luxury train to that destination, adding up for the traveler's experience. So this might be the reasons why a traveler might choose railway over other modes of transport like the airways. Now suppose if we are comparing the railways to other modes of transport when we are talking about an international travel, here trains, what are the beneficial points that are involved when we are talking about trains as a mode of transport? So trains are fast, reliable and frequent. We are talking about fast, reliable and frequent, especially when we are talking about developed countries wherein these train journeys are point to point basis. Suppose if I want to go from a place A to B, There are services which have direct trains or trains which have minimum stops to it, and those are fast or super fast expresses. Further ahead, there are trains like bullet trains which are there, which are at very high speed trains, and which will help make sure that the time of the travel is reduced on a very high note. So if we actually compare the time required by for going from a point A to point B and a time required for by an airline and then by a train, the chances are that by train it will be more convenient and faster. So reliable and frequent, unlike airways which are dependent sometimes on weather conditions, these trains can travel. Those are reliable. So if there are weather conditions which might make airways to depart a bit, you know, it might delay the airways or it might delay the aircraft departures, or there can be chances wherein the aircrafts, the airlines are completely shut down. Because of such weather conditions, trains can be a very good option. Next will be, it is frequent. The frequency of train connections is very essential when we are talking about transport tourism destinations. So almost all of the tourism destinations have very good travel connections, especially with the trains. This is so because it caters not only to the tourists but also to the commuters. So if we are talking about fast and reliability and frequency, chances are there are two trains to that particular destination, and these trains are working on everyday or daily basis. Again, say suppose we are talking about services like Rajdhani Express in India, that's fast, they have minimum stops. So what happens is, it will be convenient for a traveler to travel from Mumbai to Delhi on a Rajdhani Express rather than taking aircraft or an airline option from Mumbai to Delhi, wherein the cost might be more. Further ahead, since the airports are might be located at a far off destination, or the railway stations would be more towards the city center. So this is going to not only cut into his expense, tourism travel expense, but also his travel time. Next is, have more spacious and comfortable interiors. Now again, if we compare trains with even the airways, aircrafts and the buses, we might we know that the interiors are more spacious. There are sleeper coaches, there are comfortable chairs which are ideally bigger as compared to the seats which are there in an aircraft. More importantly, there are certain trains which have dining carts which can give you entire dining experience. There are pantry cars which are there are people can actually move from one place to another on a very frequent basis, and these are certain things which are essential for a certain type of travelers who get very cramped up or uncomfortable in a long journey wherein they have to sit at one place. So while traveling into a train, depending upon the kind of class that you have opted for, it will be more spacious and more comfortable. There will be journeys for night where in the entire seat is a sleeper coach, so you can actually be in a horizontal position and sleep rather than being in an airline where you can only recline the chair. May offer scenic routes. Now when we talk about trains and scenic trains, there are many trains which are marketed in such a way that they are the ones which are opted by the travelers. Even though they might have an extra pricing ticket, even though they might take a longer duration to a longer time to reach that particular destination. Why? Because they are giving you a very good scenery to look at. So when we are talking about trains which are both luxury and scenic, that is a very good experience for the traveler. So we are talking about train journeys near Alps, say train journey near that Rocky Mountains. These are offering you scenic beauties. Trains towards the European journeys, and there are trains near Australia, New Zealand. Those are the countries which give you beautiful scenic routes. These trains are designed in such a way that they have big glass windows which provide you crystal clear view of the scenes which are there. So even in India we have certain scenic routes wherein the trains might go. There are There are Darjeeling railway station, which gives you a very good scene. At the same time, it is also taken as a very good experience when we are going by a train. So do not require long waits at security like at airports. Now, when we are talking about airports, there are security checks, there are long lines about different kinds of check-ins, baggage, checked-in baggages and other processes that you have to go through. So there will be long waits. Further ahead, due to extra security reasons, nowadays you require to be at the airport 2 hours or 3 hours prior, especially when it's an international journey. More importantly, inside the country itself, the domestic aircrafts or airline connections, if you are taking, it will again have a check-in time, then the waits which are there. This you can avoid by taking trains, because the security might not be there. You can arrive at your convenient time for the train to be caught, and at the time wherein you don't require a 2 hours prior arrival at that railway station. So clearly you are saving a lot of time here. Take their travelers to city centers. Now, we all know that most of the airports are located away from the cities. Okay, so the traveling time and cost will be required when we are traveling from the airport to the city center. But almost all of the railway stations are in the city center. So if you are going to travel by train, you are going to exactly come at the city and not at some faraway place. So here again, the cost and the time is saved. So all these points are making trains a more convenient option as compared to the other modes of transport. And not only inside domestic in and around situation, that is when I'm talking about inside the country, but also the international cross-border trains. So the railways will provide more on comfort, more on speed, and more on time. The quality, the speed and the price of train travel depends upon the country. Now, clearly, there are different situations, there are different countries, different kinds of level of services that are provided. So here, the quality, speed and price of the train travel will depend on country to country. There are certain countries wherein train travel will be cheaper than compared to the airlines. There are certain countries wherein it will actually be priced more than the airline tickets. More importantly, the speed will be depending upon what kind of train services are there, how many stops are there, how many connections are there, what is the frequency. So here again, that's the speed. Then again, there are countries which provide you exclusive high class quality. It's world class, cannot be compared with anything. And then there are certain countries which will be providing trains which are on a very poor quality basis. So there is a different range that we can see when we are talking about railways. In some countries, the train tickets may be cheap if bought in advance. Now, we know that with respect to airlines, if we are buying the tickets in advance, there are advance purchase charges. That is, we are being given discounts on the price rates. So there are certain countries which give this discount applicable on railway tickets as well. If you are going to purchase it in advance, say about 1 month, 2 month or 3 month basis. In India, it is not so. So in some countries, this might be there. In certain other countries, there are various pass systems which are there. So if you buy such a pass, it might be more convenient for you and as well as more beneficial. So in most countries, railways are owned by state enterprises. Now, that's the majority of the countries have their railway systems which are government owned or they are public sector owned. So what happens is the trains are managed and owned by the government. The railway authority is entirely owned by the government. The management of the entire railway system is with the government. So all the controls are in the government hand. And then again, there are certain countries where the private partners or the private sector is completely involved. So it might happen that there are certain trains which are owned and managed by a private sector player, and they are operating on the railway lines which are owned by the government. So there are certain places again wherein the railway system is owned by the public sector, that is by the government, but say the services inside, like the catering services, might be given to the private sector. So this is something which can be observed in India, wherein you have the railway system, which is owned by the government, but the catering system inside is on a tender basis or given to someone else. So only at a few places you might find privately run railway organizations. So that's on a minority basis here. Trains are fast, efficient and spacious and can take large number of travelers in one trip. So when we are talking about trains, we have the space that we are talking about, we have the efficiency that we are talking about. Further ahead, we know that when we are carrying, there is a train trip, there are a lot of people who are traveling inside the train, especially a full-fledged service train which is there. So clearly, when a train is going from point A to point B, it is carrying more travelers than a small aircraft, which might be there. The management of trains need large number of people, and so employment levels are high in railway systems. So railway systems across the world will require many people to operate it on a full-fledged basis. So we are talking about the skilled and the unskilled laborers. We are talking about people who are managing at the back end system as well. We are talking about the maintenance of the railway stations, maintenance of the rail tracks, etc. So all of this is going to involve a lot of employment here, and that is going to add up to the entire economy of the host country or the economy of that particular country. So it is beneficial point here. So the railway operations will involve not only the railways but entire railway system and the railway stations as well. Here there is one point that I might want to add is that when we are talking about international travel and wherein we are talking about crossing the border, there are another things which come up where in immigration counter checks are there. There are certain train stations which also have a baggage check policy. So all this depends upon which country are we talking about and what is the train route that has been taken. So clearly when going on an international trip, this things happen. Has to be taken care of, because when a train is actually going to cross the border, there you are going to enter a different country. So there are certain restrictions and rules which need to be followed even though you are traveling by train. So that is the picture of a modern bullet train which is here. So this picture shows the bullet trains which are on a high speed train. Now this is a pictorial train journey. The travelers will arrive at the railway station, go ahead or at the platform from where the departure or is estimated to be. These are the typical interior of a train. This is a sitting train and the other one is a sleeper train, wherein these sleeper coaches are given. So this might be for a day journey and this is for the night journey or the day journey. Now that was about the railways with respect to international tourism. Let us check what we have on an Indian scenario. So role of Indian railways in promoting international tourism. We all know that India has a massive network of railways. All right, there is not a single city which might not be connected with a very in proximity with the nearest railway station. And railways become more important for India because there are few airports as compared to the railway stations that we have. So the journey to various parts and remote areas have become comfortable with the advent of electric systems, rail systems in India. So here again we are talking about the remote places which might not have the kind of area wherein the airline might not be reachable. There are no the infrastructure development is not such that an airport might be built over there. Further ahead, there might be certain constraints the place constraints or the financial constraints or even the terrain constraints of that particular place which is coming in between of building a particular airport. So the only option that it has to be connected with the rest of India is railways and roadways, wherein railways will be more comfortable. In India, terrain limitations, lack of air bases and internal security reasons make railway systems more important. These are the points that I talked just now. Out of this internal security reasons, there are certain areas, especially in northeast, wherein air travel is not allowed. Post, for example, Assam is a point from where you cannot fly in that particular region because of the internal security reasons. So here, the only option might be taking up a train or a road. So further ahead, there are certain regions wherein Indian government would not want an air base, would not want an air connection. So here railways play a important role. Railways has become essential USP of tourism industry in India. Knowing its USB, that is knowing that the trains form the backbone of the entire travel or transport system in India, Indian government is coming up with various marketing strategies to promote tourism with the help of railway systems that it already has. So what is one of the things that we have is the Fairy Queen and Palace of Wheels. The overwhelming response that we have got, Indian government has got with respect to the use of Fairy Queen and the Palace of Wheels has made sure that the government knows what is the strength of our railway system. So clearly government is taking a lot of steps to promote railways hand in hand with tourism. So there are various tourist trains which are managed and operated by the railway systems. Let us take a look at a few of them. First one that we have is Palace on Wheels and Royal Rajasthan train. Both of them have their travel itineraries for 7 to 8 days. They are both of them are starting and finishing point at Delhi. And they are covering tourist places like Jaipur, Agra, then there are other places which are across Rajasthan. So this is a very special itinerary. Now what these trains are all about, these are luxury trains which are designed on a very high class or world class kind of ambience inside. They both of them have a typical typical ambience across it. Palace on Wheels have specific designs and themes of each coach. Further ahead, Rajasthan, Royal Rajasthan has a different kind of theme. There are pantries which are there. There are dining cars which are there. There is lounge, restaurant and a bar system which is inside. Then each and every coach has beautiful inside furnishings, and they have the bedding system as well. So what happens is it gives a luxury feel. The itinerary moves in such a way that a person goes from Delhi. Okay, and it arrives at Agra. The travelers who have taken this particular train are picked up from Agra station, and they can go and visit say the Taj Mahal, and they can see the city. After that, they are again dropped back at the station and the train moves ahead. There are certain areas wherein a stay at a hotel might also be there. So all of this is a package tour which involves a train journey, a land journey or a stay at a hotel. So this has got an overwhelming response. This particular trains also have unique designs, unique themes, and each coach might also have a very good name to itself. Next, what we have is the Maharaja Express, a luxury train operated on 5 different tourist circuits that we have. Next is the Deccan Odyssey, our own Maharashtra Deccan Odyssey, wherein it is a luxury service starting and ending at Mumbai and covering the Deccan Plateau and its tourist attractions, especially it covers Goa. It also covers Aurangabad and the other Ratnagiri belt. So this is something which covers the Western Maharashtra region. Then what we have is the Golden Chariot, which covers the South Indian tourist sectors, again having special themes across it and a very good itinerary which covers most of the tourist spots at the South India. Next we have is a Mahaparinirvana train. This was marketed as a as a part of Buddhist circuits, which has a train which goes across and connects tourist places near Bihar, Patna, those. All right. So these are places which are important with respect to Buddhism. So this was a train which was covering major Buddhist tourist circuit which India has. So these are certain tourist trains which are important with India. There are other managing companies which are managing this, and it comes under the government of India. Railway systems. So what is happening is over the years it has been popular. There are many marketing strategies which are here and adding to the popularity. Not only to the international travelers know about them and they are catering to them, coming and demanding the services, but there are also many domestic travelers who want to have these experiences. Service in a palace wheel. This is a photograph showing you the interior of the palace on wheels. Most of this are there. Every train that we talked about have its own website giving you beautiful photographs of what each coach is all about. There are history about it. There are the people, the hospitality staff which is there to cater to the tourist. Now that was about railways. Let us see what roadways have in hand. So when we talk about roadways and international tourism, what are we talking about? Up to the beginning of the 20th century, tourists traveled almost exclusively by rail and steamship. So we are talking about transcontinental journeys by rail, inside the continental by train, and then there were steamships which were involved. The invention of the new transport medium, travel by a private car and coach, transformed the entire shape of tourist industry. Now what must have happened, let us imagine here. If I have entered into a particular country, I have to go from point A to point B. The only options that I might have is railways, steamships, or airways. Now, as the country started developing, there was another mode that was created, that was the cars and the coach and the buses. And this added up to development of the road transport systems. That is, there were many roads which were created, different kinds of highways, different kinds of expressways which came up. The growth of the private car may be identified as a major cause for the decline of the railways. The negative effect was obviously it was a decline in the railways, the use of the railways that is happening. So suppose if I have an option of going from point A to point B by a train, which gives me lots of benefits but not a privacy, which I might have my own priority. So I might hire a private car and go from point A to point B. Then again, there are things like I might not get a ticket, or it's the availability is full. I might opt for a private car. So the growth of the private car has actually hampered the growth of railways and tourism. The automobile has brought about a more random pattern of travel movements. Now, what do we mean by more random travel movements? Now, let's see. Suppose in a country there is a train which journeys from A to B and B to D. Okay, leaving C. Ideally, a traveler will opt only to visit A to B. Why? Because there is a train which is available to B. He might go and visit B and come back home. He might again take A to D, go to D, see the sightseeing, enjoy the travel experience and go back home. He might not opt for going to C. Why? Because there is no convenience to travel there. But as the development of roadways and cars have come up, C might also get explored. So what happens is there are random patterns which are created wherein people might go from and start exploring all the other regions which are not connected by either the airways or the railways. So here the travel movement was randomized. There was not a single pattern which was there which can be studied or analyzed wherein the use of railways would be there. Has opened up new destinations and has stimulated the development of new automobile oriented facilities and services along highways and roadways. Now again, like I said earlier, C might come up to be a destination. Similarly, the other destinations which are on a day's trip from say point B, which has a railway, might get developed into a destination. So clearly what happens here is it is developing the tourism, it is spreading tourism. All right. Here again, we have the other facilities and services which are coming in picture. So when I am renting a car from point A to point C, all right, I require other services as well. What do I require? I require fuel for my car. I require drivers. I require food, food stalls. I require a night stay lodge. Suppose if I am talking about a journey which is going to take more time, or which is a 24-hour journey. So here again, these are the facilities which are coming up. So people are going to build up fuel stations at the roads. People are going to build up restaurants or restrooms at that particular road. The roads are going to be better. All this is going to add up to the employment sector, again generating employment and making sure that the economic boom is there in that particular country. So again, all this is happening because of tourism and because of the roadways which are involved in it. Car rentals and recreation vehicles spur the development of travel by car. RVs offer the opportunity to combine driving and camping. In countries wherein camping is one of the hobbies, all right, when there are many people, majority of the people who might love to camp at the creation of RVs as a recreational vehicle, it made sure that people start buying RVs or take them on rent when they are going on camping trips. So suppose if there is a family vacation which has camping across, they might take a cross-country road trip, all right, taking a rental RVs, and here they can carry lots of things with them, lots of luggage with them. They can also, it's like their own accommodation with respect to RV. In countries like USA, Europe, there are parking lots which are there for catering to the needs of such camping vehicles and RVs. So car rentals and recreation vehicle again change the entire tourism aspect. So there were more patterns which were created, there were more camping grounds which were used, and there were more regions which were explored by the travelers, adding up to again the international tourism.